الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا ووسيلتنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز: ولا يخشون أحدا إلا الله. وقال الله عز وجل في مقام آخر: ولا يخافون لومة لائم. وفي شأن حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. Infinite praise, complete glory and perfection is due to Allah Azza wa Jal. And salutations and peace and blessings be upon our noble, most beloved, most humble messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and upon his purified and beautiful family, and upon the illustrious and noble companions and all of those who follow in the footsteps of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. My respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal shower upon us all on this blessed, sacred and noble day of Jumu'ah, and may our attendance become a means for our guidance, for our success, for our purification and salvation in this dunya and also in the hereafter. Allahumma ameen. It's wonderful to be back here after on and off break, on and off, on and off. So alhamdulillah, it's nice to be delivering a speech again. Today's topic of speech, as you can see from the poster, is titled Invictus. And for those who like their gladiators, those who like their Spartans, and those who know a little bit of Latin history, they'll understand what this particular title means. But it is also extremely significant for us all from an Islamic perspective, inshallah, which we will unravel here today. As you know, we are all in the sacred and beautiful month of Muharram, Muharram al-Haram, the Shahrullah, the month of Allah Azza wa Jal, one of the four sacred months from the sacred months of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala: Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah, Muharram and Rajab. And this is also noble to us because this is the month in which we also have the designation of the Hijrah, the Islamic calendar. But more importantly than that, it is sacred for one of the important reasons that it has its connection, its nisbah, to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. And this is the month within which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed the tyranny, removed the darkness and the zulm of Fir'aun, and saved Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and saved Bani Israel. Hence why on the 10th of Muharram, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam commanded us to fast on the 9th and the 10th, or the 10th and the 11th. Why? نَحْنُ أَحَقُّ بِمُوسَى مِنْكُمْ. Because we are more worthy and more closer to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. So we celebrate his victory, we celebrate his triumph, and we also celebrate his success. So today, inshallah, we'll talk a little bit about what is history from an Islamic perspective and how this is connected to the month of Muharram, and also how it connects to our previous few weeks here in this particular country, because we have all been looking towards the elections. And although the results have been clear and in front of us, nevertheless, it's important for us to reflect upon how we got here and how we need to move forward. So as you know from the election results, there were many people, many organizations that were extremely elated, extremely happy by the victory that they achieved. And at the same time, there were many others who were extremely sad, disheartened by all of the effort that they put in, and perhaps they were not able to achieve the success that they had envisioned from the outset. Nevertheless, there are new opportunities afoot. There are new beginnings for the Labour Party, and we must make sure, as I mentioned previously, that we hold them to account. We hold them and make sure that they fulfill their responsibilities and they do not fall back into their old habits. But victory is not something which is everlasting. For everything that goes up must also come down. We have the Islamic civilization, it had its peak, but also it has its decline, and we continue to spiral down in that particular decline. So even the victory that after 14 years or so for the Labour Party doesn't necessarily mean this is something which is everlasting. And a victory doesn't always necessarily have to be a victory based on the power anything or some other things, but it can be a victory of truth. It can be victory when you have prevented something else from happening. It can be a victory when you have done open da'wah to the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the cause of Muslims worldwide. It is a victory when you are able to bring about a change within yourself and also a change within your society. So the efforts that you exert whenever you try to bring about change is not wasted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is always recorded, and whatever victory that you may think of from the worldly perspective, know that whenever you do something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the success is with you because you are upon haqq, you are upon adl, you are upon insaf, you are upon qist. So this is something that we need to consider as we move forward in this sacred month of Muharram, where tyranny was removed, destruction and darkness was removed, and also for us to reflect upon how we can move forward in a brighter, more positive manner to achieve victory in the dunya and also from a worldly perspective. But for today, I have a story for you. Ordinarily, as you know, on Jumu'ah, we are quite content heavy on the topics that we talk about. I condense 8 hours or so of reading into half an hour. But today we will suffice with one particular story recorded in Sahih Muslim, narrated by none other than our beloved messenger, Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, which will give us this hope, which will give us this ability to look towards victory from a different perspective. So lend me your heart and also lend me your ears. And when we talk about and reflect upon this particular story, think about all of the institutions locally. Think about your MPs. Think about the mayors. Think about our politicians. Think about the presidents and the prime ministers and all of those people in power throughout the world, whether on a micro or a macro level. And think about what victory means for them. And then also think about what victory means for us as Muslims, because we are looking towards the victory of the hereafter, the victory with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the victory on the day of Qiyamah when we will enter into the gardens and paradise. Udkhuluha bisalamin aminin Allahumma ya Rabb. So today's story is about a king, and it is about his magician, and it's also about a monk, and it is about a young boy. So we have four characters in this particular story: a king and his magician, the monk and his boy. So once upon a time, and this is exactly how it is, because this story took place many, many years or perhaps centuries before the messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So he narrated it as a story, hence as I am doing also. So there was a king whose right-hand man was a very, very powerful magician. And as you know, at that time, in order for the kings to consolidate their power, they had to put fear and instill fear into their community and deceive them and make it look like they were miraculous and they were given godly powers, etc. So they would always have these particular magicians on their right and their left. They would have these aids to their sides. Just like today, our prime ministers and our presidents, they don't do much of the talking. They're just there as a figurehead, and they get all of their minions to say whatever they want to say and to deceive people with their words, to put a spin on certain things and to use the media to avoid and duct all of the things and to bring about this beautiful picture to the rest of the world that look at what your king and your president and prime minister is doing. But the reality is far from that. So this is the king. And he had a very, very powerful magician who is right-hand man. But the magician, as every other ordinary human being, was growing old. So one day he asked the king that if you want to maintain your power, if you want to maintain the fear and the control over this entire community, then I need to train somebody up. And this is what people do, our politicians do as well. They don't want to lose control. They'll give it over to the next person and the next person within their family or within their area to maintain their control and their power to control that. So he said, I need somebody to train up so he can continue with you and you can continue this tyranny that you have, this zulm that you do throughout the entire community. So he said to the king, go find me a young and intelligent and capable boy to train. Not an older person, because it's harder for you to put something in their mind, because they've seen the world. They've experienced the reality. Whereas a young boy is able to absorb whatever you say. And if you control everything within the society, within the community, you control the narrative. So whatever you say, it goes. Because the boy doesn't know anything else. All he sees around him is people obeying the king, worshipping the king, following the king. It is his hukum, and nobody else's hukum. So naturally the boy will listen to whatever the king and the magician has to say. So find me this young, this intelligent and capable boy to train. And then what happens? Then a young boy was ordered, he was found within the community, and he was ordered to come to the magician every single day to learn from him. In other words, to indoctrinate him. In other words, to brainwash him. In other words, to manipulate him so he could carry on this control within the community or within the society. So we also need to look very, very carefully that when our children are following certain people, what are their values? What are their principles? And who are they following? And what will they become like? Because your children will inevitably become like you, and your children will also become like the people that they follow. الرَّجُلُ عَلَى دِينِ خَلِيلِهِ. This is the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that the man, a friend, is upon the path of his friend. So if your friends are like this, deceiving, manipulating, dark, and they instill this zulm and so many other things, then your children will inevitably become like them. So anyhow, the magician is there, and he is training this boy now to do all of this magic, to do this sorcery, to control and manipulate situations to make it look like the king is God. And the king is in control, and he is all powerful, and he is unlike any other ordinary human being. So one day, on his way towards the training, towards the magician, the young boy, he passes by a monk who is an abd from the ibadullah, a servant from the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when he saw this monk, he was disheveled, no, very, very ordinary, lowly person. Her hair wasn't really combed. He didn't have the finest of clothing. He was just sat there on the side of the road. However, when the boy saw that monk, he admired his character, because the way that that monk addressed and spoke to other people in a kind manner, with good akhlaq, with good uswa hasana, he was dealing with people in a merciful, compassionate way, and he was using wise words, and he was using eloquent speech. So if you want to find the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, true servants of Allah won't be the right-hand man of a king. They won't be the right-hand man of politicians and MPs, etc. You'll find them on the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in simple and humble beginnings. This is where you'll find the true awliya of Allah. He found this monk, simple monk, ordinary monk, sitting there talking to people, but in a nice manner, not deceiving them, not manipulating the truth or the reality, but in a simple conversation. This monk was the only person left on Tawheed in that entire village, in that entire area. Everybody else worshipped and believed the king. And they prayed to him and did everything that he said, nobly believed and worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is that last individual. So seeing the boy's potential and seeing that he was inquisitive and he sat down with him, seeing the boy's innocence and interest within him, what did the monk do? He didn't think, oh, that's it, it's just me now, I don't need to worry about anybody else. Sari jahnami jawan, everybody can go to hell because they are worshipping God, I'm doing my job. No. He realized that he had a responsibility to share the tawheed with that boy, to try to bring about some form of change within the community, even though that he was the last one. Our brothers and sisters, they stood up as independents in the local election. It doesn't matter if they were against 1,000 people or 10,000 people, their job was to call to the truth, to call to haq. Doesn't matter if anybody listened or not, they did their job. So the monk did his job and he brought that boy closer to him and he said, started teaching him about tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and started teaching him about tawakkul, true yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, true trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So naturally the boy, he was inclined towards the monk. So every single day what the boy would do, he would stop on his way first and visit the monk and learn from him and listen to him. And then after visiting the monk, then he would go on towards the magician. And the magician would say, why are you late? You know, you've wasted my time. I've been waiting for you. And he used to beat up the boy. So you can see here two very different approaches, that the deen of Islam, and when you call to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is always with mercy, is always with grace, is always with compassion. Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal maw'izati al hasana. This is how we call onto other people. We don't necessarily have to go and boo people and other politicians or throw eggs or flour upon them or do other things. No, we just need to carry ourselves in the best way, with grace, with humility, the way that this monk did, and not be from those people who, like the magician who was beating up this boy. Why? He's just a boy and he turned up late. He used to beat him up every single day. But the monk said to him, wasbir. Be patient, because when you're on the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to be patient. You can't bring about change in a year or two. It may take you an entire lifetime. And this is the path of patience. This is the path of trials and tribulations that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So on one day, the young boy was returning and he saw a beast. A beast, perhaps it was a saber-toothed tiger, perhaps it was a mammoth, perhaps it was something, we do not know what the beast was, but we know it was a beast, it was blocking the road for the villagers, and the villagers were all scared for their own lives and for the lives of their children. But this boy, he came and he saw the beast and he thought to himself, he said, today I shall know whether the magician or the monk is on the truth. Today is the day of Furqan, the day of differentiation. So he picked up a rock and he said, Ya Allah, if the monk is dearer to you and if the monk is on haq more than the magician, then Ya Allah, allow this beast to be killed. So he threw the stone, he struck the beast and it immediately died just with one stone, that huge beast. So the boy realized that the monk is on the truth and not the magician. So he went back and told the monk what had happened. And the monk said, now you have reached a level where you will be tested. So be extremely careful. If you have no trials and tribulations in your life and your life is very simple, very linear, very hunky-dory, then know that your iman is not very strong. But if you get trials and tribulations in health and wealth and family and other things, then know that your iman is strong and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing you to purify you further and bring you closer to Him. So now he knew that he was going to be tested by Allah Azza wa Jal. So the news spread like wildfire. We didn't have social media then or BBC, but it spread like wildfire in the entire village. And the whole village was talking about this miraculous boy. And the villagers started rushing towards him and asking him for help. And he said, I can't do anything. Whatever I do is from the izn of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just the way Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam said, that I did all of this bi izni Rabbi, bi izni Allah, because of the izn of Allah. So with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with his iman, with his tawakkul and yakin in Allah, he started curing people from leprosy. He started curing people with their blindness. He started curing people from their diseases bi izni Allah. And then one day, a blind minister, a minister who used to work for the king, who is beneath the king, who is very close to the king, that blind minister heard about this boy. And he went to him seeking a cure. And he said to the boy, cure me. And he said, I do not cure anybody. It is only Allah Azza wa Jal who cures people. So if you believe in Allah, then I will do dua for you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cure you. So the blind minister said, yes, na'am, I believe in Allah, the oneness of Allah. The boy then raised his hands, did dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returned his sight. So the next day, that same blind minister previously went to the king, and the king was absolutely gobsmacked and flabbergasted. How is it that yesterday you were blind and today you are here before me and you can see? How did this miracle happen? Who did this magic? Who cured you? And he said, it was the boy, and he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure me, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cured me. So the king was absolutely furious, and you said, you have a God other than me, I am your Lord. Just like Fir'aun said, just like other people say in power that I am in control, whatever I say is the law, is the rule, we are the top. So he said, you have a God other than me? And he said, yes. So he said, my God and your God is only Allah. He spoke the truth. So the king, what did he do? He killed the minister immediately and he said, bring me the boy. Why? Whenever there's a threat to your power, what do? You completely destroy any form of threat. And this is what the king did. He killed the minister, his own minister, and he said, bring me the boy. And after torture, the boy finally confessed and told the king everything about him, about the monk and about his iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the monk was then called and the monk was then tortured relentlessly for days on end and told to reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the monk refused and consequently he was also killed by the king. So those people who are trying to bring about change in society, don't think you won't be challenged, don't think people won't go and check into your background, don't think that these other people in power won't try to do everything within their control to take you down, to destabilize you, they will. But there's nothing more precious than your iman. So now the king had killed the monk, he had killed his own minister, and the boy was left. He needed to make a spectacle out of him. He needed to show everybody that I am in control. I am the God, I am the Lord, and you worship me and everything else is in my control. So he ordered all of his Spartans, all of his soldiers to gather around this one single individual young boy and said to him, take him to the highest mountain here in our area. And when you get to the top, push him off. This was the command from the king. So the boy went. He went with the soldiers because he couldn't do anything else. But when he got to the top of the mountain, he did this dua, Allahumma kfinihim bima shi'at. Ya Allah, suffice me. Ya Allah, protect me. However you want to protect me. He didn't say to Allah, Ya Allah, save me like this. Give me some wings. Send an angel. No, be my shit. However, Ya Allah, you want to save me, suffice me from these individuals. So in trials and tribulations, when you are in difficulty, don't tell Allah how to save you or what to give you. Just call to Allah and say, Ya Allah, however you want to get me through this difficulty, do it. This is what he said, Allahumma kfinihim bima shit. The mountain shook and all of the soldiers around him fell down. They all died and the boy was saved. He didn't run away. Oh, that's it. Bal bachkiya naso. No, he didn't run away because he had tawheed and iman and tawakkul in his heart. He went back to the king and he said, Allah saved me. You sent these people, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved me. So the king now really, really upset. He tells again his other soldiers, take him to the middle of the ocean and push him in, drown him. When he went into the middle of the ocean, again he read that dua, Allahumma kfinihim bima shit. And the boat shook, all of the soldiers drowned, and the boy was saved. And he returned again back to the king. So now the king is completely perplexed. How do I get rid of this boy? How do I kill him and maintain my power, maintain my control amongst all of these people? So the boy himself said to the king, do you want to kill me? And he said, yes, of course, na'am. Absolutely. So he said to him, gather all of the people in our community, in this city, in this village, to the biggest arena, hence why my poster you'll see. He said, gather everybody in this arena and then tie me to a trunk of a tree. A tree in the middle of the arena. Gather every single person and tie me to it and then get an arrow. But before you release the arrow from the bow, say, Bismillahi Rabbil Ghulam. Say, in the name of Allah, the Lord of this boy, then and only then will you be able to kill me. The king didn't understand. He was just blinded by his anger and he just wanted to get rid of this boy and kill this boy. So he said, yes, he gathered every single person in the city, in the village. He gathered them all. He tied him to the tree of the trunk. And then he said this dua himself, Bismillahi Rabbil Ghulam. And when the arrow was shot, the boy died. Why? Because this is what he taught the king to say. But you might think that why would the boy teach the king how to kill him? But there's a greater objective behind all of this. When all of the villagers saw that the king has said, Bismillahi Rabbil Ghulam, they all said, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. The king became furious and commanded for all his soldiers to dig a ditch and to throw everybody in the blazing fire. Why? Because now everything's out. The cat's out the bag. Now they all believe in the oneness of Allah because the king couldn't kill him. No matter what he did, he could only kill him when he said Allah. So they realized it is only Allah. It is not the king. So he said, dig a ditch, throw everyone into the blazing fire. And he said to the villagers, believe in me as your Lord and you will live. Reject me and you will die. The villagers remain steadfast. وَلَا يَخْشَوْنَ أَحَدًا إِلَّا اللَّهِ They did not fear anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What could the king do to them? Because now they had the iman in their heart. So they remained steadfast on their iman and on haq. And they were thrown into the fire and they did not care. لَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ And the last villager was a mother, a breastfeeding mother, and the baby was there in her arm, and she hesitated a little, but the baby spoke up. Remember Juraj, the story of Juraj? Remember the story of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, the others? This baby also spoke up, a breastfeeding baby, and said, Oh my mother, isbiri, be patient, for you are an haq. So she and the baby jumped into that pit and all of the villagers died. Now the question is, did the king win? Because seemingly the victory is for him. He's killed the villagers, he's killed the boy, he's killed the monk. What did he truly win? Did he achieve victory? Was he truly successful? He lived. Did the villagers and the boy and the monk lose? Did they truly fail? Were they defeated just because they died? No, because victory is not solely a military victory. Victory is not solely of power. Victory is to achieve a goal. The boy achieved his goal. The villagers achieved their goal and they were all on the iman and the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The goal of the king was to make everyone leave their deen, leave their path and to stop believing in Allah, to only fear Him and to follow and worship Him. But he was not victorious because he was unable to achieve that goal. So he truly lost. So my brothers and sisters, even though we may seemingly lose in the dunya, in positions of power, don't ever think you've lost. Because when you're doing something for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will never lose. وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ We do not fear, we do not despair, we do not grieve, we do not lose hope. We will always be victorious because we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna lil muttaqina mafaza. Indeed, the muttaqin are those who have truly succeeded. So reflect on Gaza, my brothers and sisters, even though we see suffering, we see death, we see destruction and genocide. Reflect on the elections of haq and batil, on the lies and the deception and so much other things. Know that victory is with us. with Iman, with Islam, with the people of Islam, with the people of Gaza. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us in this particular story, as taught to us by the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So strive, continue in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant His victory in this dunya and also in the hereafter. وَقُولِ كَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ جَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا.